We've already looked at context in terms of identity. Who we are, how we fit into the community, how the community perceives us, what is our ministry, what exactly, why are we there, what is our purpose, and then how will we carry it out. But I want to look at two other areas related to your identity. And that one of them has to do with being a neighbor. The idea of making the community your home. And you, brother, will you burn your passport? Here's the story behind that. I was in my second year working at the chapel. And again, a lot of my friends, I was overseas for 2 years before coming back to the States and then getting involved in urban ministry. In my final year there, a friend of mine took me with him on a trip through Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Romania, then Yugoslavia, and then back up to Vienna. And we were in a pastor's home, and George was talking to this pastor. And I didn't catch everything that was being said. But at one point, the pastor turned to me and said, "And you, brother, will you burn your passport?" And I looked at him like, what is he asking me to do? And I figured out rather quickly what he was saying is that he wanted me to be committed. Will you commit yourself to being here, to serving here, to be among us? You remember the story I shared with you about one of the kids who came over after I had been robbed twice in 1 week. And his response was, "Well, Tayed, you're one of us now. Now you understand." So the idea is that the position from which to exert maximum influence in the lives of young people is as a neighbor. Jesus said you will love your neighbor as yourself. It's when we become a member of the community that says something to the people around us, and it changes us as well, because now we share in the community, we share in its struggle, and we share in the solutions. And so there's a sense in which when I moved into Five Points, I burned my passport. Five Points became my home. How do you become a neighbor? Perhaps you're involved in ministry and you're thinking that, well, yeah, I really should move into the community that I serve. What would I do? Well, one is, if you haven't done so, move into the neighborhood, or move closer to the neighborhood. Position yourself as a neighbor, and then once you've done that, get to know your neighbors. Be accessible enough for them to know you and to see you. It's one thing for you to stand in front of young people each week and talk to them or share with them the gospel. It's quite another when they see you in the grocery store, or you're driving with them and someone cuts you off and they see your response. You are in a different position to influence them. That's when they will see how real your relationship with God is. So get to know your neighbors and be accessible to them. Hang out. You can frequent local coffee shops or basketball courts, community centers, other youth hotspots. You can just go spend some time with young people. Another thing to do in being a good neighbor is to listen. Ask questions. Pay attention to what people are saying. Pick up on their felt needs, the pressing issues and concerns. Learn to see the community and life from a resident's perspective, from a neighbor's perspective. Another is to simply be a good host. Start a rap session type Bible study. Or you can form a neighborhood youth group. Or you can just invite people over to your home and spend time with them. Or you can go to their home and let them host you. But it's important to be a neighbor. Then secondly, kingdom. In the context of the kingdom, who are you in relationship to God's body, the church? What is your relationship to the Christian community? You know, you're leading a ministry, and as a leader, you have a role to play, but you're not alone. You're part of something bigger. And so what role do you play? There's a relationship that you have to the rest of the body of Christ. What is that? Well, the church's relationship to you is they should be a prayer warrior, a mission partner, and an encourager. Certainly, you should have people around you that in partnering with you, they pray for you. When I started in youth ministry, prior to starting youth ministry, I had learned of a man who had lived in the neighborhood for 2 years, and he was getting ready to leave. And I asked him why. I got together with him and said, why are you quitting? And from what I could gather from what he said, it sounded like those were two very lonely, hard years. And the thing that I picked up on the most was that he really felt alone and isolated, and that he needed encouragement. And so when I started ministry, I began asking people for three things. One is for prayer, another is for support, and another is for words of encouragement. And so from the very beginning, my friends have responded. They write me. I don't feel alone because there are people that are praying for me and keep in touch with me, and I have all kinds of friends, both in the community and outside the community. But it's important that you do not feel alone in what you are doing. And then there's your relationship to the church. How do you relate to the greater body of Christ? Well, two ways. One is that you're a point person. You may be the person on the cutting edge of youth ministry in your community, in your city, in your neighborhood. And because you are that, you play a specific role. But it is a role, it's one role that relates to a bigger a bigger movement that is going on. The people who pray for you, the people who encourage you, the people who provide financial resources for you, they are all a part of the mission. It's the mission that's important. God may have raised you up to work with youth, or troubled youth, or in difficult places, but you're not alone. God also brings other people around you. So it's not just them supporting you as if you're the center of the story. Really, the center of the story is the movement of God in the lives of people. And you play a key role in that, but you're one of many. And so it's very important that you see yourself as a point person. And as a point person, you have responsibility. You have to share with the larger body of Christ what is going on in your ministry. Or specifically, where is God in your ministry? What are the significant things that are taking place in your ministry? So you're also a storyteller. You are telling people about here's what's happening in this young person's life without betraying confidences. But you're saying, this is something that happened the other day when little Johnny, he heard he heard an aspect of what God thinks about his situation, and I saw the light bulb go off. I thought, oh, okay, he really is beginning to get it. Or you have another person that says their life was moving in this direction and something miraculous happened. And here's how God is at work in my community, in the lives of young people. You want to tell the story. You're the one that lets the greater body of Christ know that God is alive and at work in the community. And so you have a relationship to the church. The church has a relationship to you. And this is all about fulfilling God's kingdom agenda. And so that's context. Those are some things we should think about when it comes to establishing the context for your ministry. It needs to be defined. It needs to be clear. You need to be positioned as a neighbor. You need to have a right relation. You need to see yourself rightly as it relates to God's kingdom movement. God has blessed you to be a point person, but you're not the only one that's involved, and you want to involve other people in your ministry. That's context. When we come together again, we're going to start looking at how do you create a transformational discipleship culture.